Hello and welcome to another DTNS Labs interview episode. I'm Tom Merritt, and very happy to have with me today Chuck Latornos, who's going to share a story about how a smartwatch, I don't know if saved your life might be too intense, but pretty close. It definitely warded off some health scares. Chuck, of course, is the editor and publisher of randomaccess.com. You've probably seen him on the British Tech Network, BTN, Ewan Rankin's awesome network. Also writes for Macworld and Fast Company. Chuck, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, Tom. After those couple of stories, I'm happy to be anywhere, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm sure. So let's start with a couple of years ago, and you may have seen this written up at Macworld as well, folks, back in 2016. What happened there? This is the scariest of the two stories, I feel like.
Yeah, this is by far the scariest, and this is the one that gets closest to, you know, the Apple Watch really did save my life, and it's not just a kind of clickbait headline. I was in the office and preparing to go visit my daughter who lives in Georgia. I'm from New Jersey. So it was going to be an 800-mile drive. Had a lot to do at work to get ready to go, to take the time off. So I was feeling a little bit stressed. But I started getting these kind of pounding feelings in my chest. And I looked at my watch, and the heart rate monitor on my watch was telling me that my heart rate was pretty high for me. You know, normally I'm in the high 60s, low 70s.
And it was, rest, right? Yeah.
And it was, I don't know, 85, 90. And I could feel it. Long story short, the day went on, I kind of ignored it, put it off to just, you know, anxiety or stress or whatever. But even sitting down, that stupid watch kept, you know, letting me know that my heart rate was really high. So I finally took it seriously enough to say, all right, let me take a look at it. Went down to the office nurse. She thought I was having a heart attack. You know, they brought an ambulance for me, and you know, that's really an exciting way to leave your building.
I'm sure.
On a stretcher, which I wouldn't let them do. I made them at least let me walk out, which was probably not my smartest decision of the day. But it turned out it wasn't a heart attack at all. I had a hereditary condition called factor V Leiden, which makes my blood more susceptible to clotting. So what I had was pulmonary embolisms, blood clots that were blocking arteries in my heart and lungs. The doctors did that night, you know, they weren't sure I was going to make it. And had I not gotten medical attention when I did, and I only did it because of what the watch was convincing me of, I might not have made it through that night. So, you know, I don't think it's a stretch to say that, yeah, at that time it did probably save my life.
And it really struck home with me because I have had situations where, you know, heart palpitations, your heart pounding, and wrote it off to anxiety, or had situations where I felt a little weird, but I was busy with something. So when you, sure, when you told in your Macworld story, that part about, but you know, I wasn't going to let my wife and my daughter down. I was just going to power through. That impulse is incredibly powerful. And anybody who hasn't experienced that probably doesn't realize just how powerful that is to just ignore something, which on paper, you're like, how could you ignore that? You know,
exactly.
And so when, what you said about having the external validation to say, no, you're not imagining it. That's incredibly important.
Yeah, I think that was really big. And I got a lot of those comments after the article was, you know, what kind of moron are you that didn't recognize that, you know, you're having these issues? And you're absolutely right. You have so many other things on your mind that a medical condition would be a terrible inconvenience when you're about to go on a trip, right? And you can attribute it to all sorts of other things. But it was that, you know, that blinking red dot and those numbers on my watch that convinced me that it wasn't just my imagination. It wasn't just something I could shrug off, and I really did need to go do something about it.
Yeah, because you don't want to be sick. Nobody wants to be sick. So if you can, you know, rationalize that you're not, that's a natural tendency. And I know there's some debate over how accurate these trackers are, but the fact of the matter is, here in this particular situation, it didn't matter whether it was giving you an accurate, you know, beats per minute. What mattered was the interval. It was saying, you're usually here, whatever that number is, and right now you're way up here. So whether it's accurate or not, there's a big delta between those two, and that means something's wrong.
That's right. And whether it was, you know, 146 beats a minute or 143 beats a minute didn't really matter. It was, you know, way too fast is the technical term for it, I think.
Yeah, I went back and looked at my Apple Watch records after reading your story, and I had had one alert back in March that I don't remember ever getting. So, again, I think another part of this story is not that, oh, he got one alert and then, you know, panicked and ran to the hospital. You kept getting them and kept saying, no, we're still noticing something. It's not a glitch. It's not a one-time error.
Right. And some of those times, you know, when I did just sit at my desk for a while and try to rest, I felt pretty good, but the watch was telling me that my heart rate was still elevated. So even if you feel fine, you know, you're not always as fine as you think.
And the other thing that I think you did right, and that people should consider is you didn't use the Apple Watch as the end of your diagnosis. You said, well, if it's telling me this, I should go get a medical opinion. You went down to the nurse.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
All right. Let's talk about your more recent article that you published about another health crisis. This one may be a little less frightening in the short term, but certainly no less serious.
Yeah. Yeah. And I should say up front that by no means do I want my beat now to be reporting on my own health crises.
Please. Yeah. No, I get that.
I hope this is the last one.
Right.
But yeah. It had been, you know, I hadn't written an article for Macworld for 2 years after that. And, you know, the health one was my last in 2016. And I got very nice notes right afterwards. And then a couple of years later, I would get some notes from people saying, you know, I noticed that you're not very active on Twitter. Is everything okay?
And you're like, have you read Twitter lately, folks? there could be other reasons. Yeah,
that's right. But yeah, so when I had another sort of health crisis, I wanted to make sure that I did write about it, let people know I'm still here. There are things that you can do about these health situations that involve technology, but not just technology. The first time I wrote about it, I got nice notes about how inspiring my article was and how it, you know, prompted people to get their own health checked. And I didn't want to miss the opportunity to do that one again. This time, this was not something that the Apple Watch was going to alert me about, but I thought that it was a good opportunity, a good chance for the Apple Watch to help me through it. So in this case, I had gained some weight. As I say in the article, there was more of me to love. I didn't really feel any symptoms, but it turned out that I had high blood sugar and I had onset of type 2 diabetes. Now, that runs in my family. I had a predisposition to it, but the extra luggage that I was carrying around certainly didn't help things. Mm-hmm. So I had gotten really good at ignoring the notifications on my Apple Watch that tell me to stand every hour and those kind of things. I'd never really used it that much as a fitness device. And I said, okay, let's put it to the test. So what I did at first was simply, you know, stand. When I got those prompts, I learned to listen to the prompts rather than ignore them. Eventually, I started walking around a little bit more. I said, let's see if these rings really can motivate me, can do things for me. So I would start to take walks around my building, around the outside, or if the weather was bad, I'd do laps up and down the floors and inside the building, tracking my activity on the watch, just using the built-in workout apps on there. My goal was to try to get 3 miles of brisk walking in a day, and that started to work. I could see the pounds start to come off. Mm-hmm. My doctors had also told me that I needed to cut out sugar and carbohydrates, so I used an app called MyNet Diary. I checked out a couple ones. This seemed really good. It had a very thorough, very full database of different types of foods that autocomplete as you enter them, that remember what you've entered. So if you have the same breakfast every day, you know, you can just start to type it and it'll fill it out for you. But it does a nice breakdown of not only how many calories are in those things, but what's the percentage of carbohydrates and proteins and all the other things that you need to keep track of. So by doing that, I was able to really keep track and look at the trends over time on how I was doing with my carbs and my sugar. And that helped a lot too. It told me how many calories I had left for the day, whether I should, whether I needed to stop eating carbs after lunch or whatever. I should point out that my wife brought this out to my attention. It's something that she found, and she had been tremendously supportive through all of this stuff. So she was kind of my cheerleader. She was making sure that, you know, she cooked the things that I could eat, and then I would track and see how much of it I could have. You know, it turned out to be not nearly as hard as I thought it was going to be. But it did require me to kind of embrace the technology and listen to what it was telling me rather than just kind of shrug it off and ignore it and hit the dismiss button while I was sitting on the couch watching TV, which is really tremendously easy to do.
Well, there's been a lot of research that just the act of recording, in whether it's in an app or even on a piece of paper, what you eat makes you more aware of it and helps you move towards that. Do you think that was part of it too?
Yeah, I think that was a tremendous help. And also just those little bits of success, you know, if you can see the scale go down a little bit, it really motivates you to want to keep it going down, and it motivates you to not have that extra helping of mashed potatoes or whatever it is, because you know it's going to kill your trend, and it's going to, you know, make you weigh a little bit more tomorrow than you did today. So, you know, the old saying, nothing succeeds like success, I think is really true. And the motivation kind of snowballs, and the better you do, the more you want to do. My walks turned more brisk. They got a little bit longer. Eventually, I started, you know, incorporating some jogging in there. And I think you're a runner too. I'll never be a runner, but you know, I do a run walk now. I have friends who do marathons all the time, and I'll never join them in that. But for the first time in my life, a 5K is not out of the question.
Yeah, and my doctor has pointed out that as I get older and my joints, you know, don't recover as much, walking is just as good. If a run is making you more tired than it should, or it's making you hurt, just getting out there and getting 30 minutes of exercise is what she wants from me. So these kinds of trackers, whether it's an Apple Watch or an Android Wear or just a Fitbit, they sort of help remind you and motivate you and give you goals, I think are important just to get you moving.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like how, I know a lot of the fitness devices do this, but on my Apple Watch, for instance, it sort of gives me that little bit of a cheerleader action at the beginning of the day. You know, hey, you're usually farther ahead of with your rings by now, or you're really killing it. You know, keep it going.
The only one I don't like is every morning it tells me, like, all right, let's get going. I'm like, yeah, no, I know.
Yeah, right.
I wish I could turn that one off, because I do like the progress check of like, hey, you're a little behind your move goal, but you can still get it. And I'm like, oh, right. Okay, good to know. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And towards the end of the day, you know, if you get the notification that says, hey, you almost closed this ring, a brisk 15-minute walk will do it. I'm probably going to take that walk just to close the ring.
I've even just kind of started playing with the dogs and moving around the house a little, because I was only a couple minutes away. I'm like, well, it'll be fun for them. It'll get me over the edge. And again, if I was just doing a daily walk, I wouldn't have done that extra bit. Right. And so those little extra bits, I think they add up over time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is everything good with you now? Are you in on a level playing field? I don't mean to pry into your health, but it seems like this has had a positive effect.
Yeah, I think I've put it out there enough that you don't have to worry about prying.
Right.
I've made this condition pretty public. So thank you for asking. Yes, I dropped about a little over 50 pounds all told. My waist size went from, this is in the article, so it's, you know, it's no secret. My waist went from about a 38 to a 32. I dropped two sizes in my sport jackets, which was good and bad, because I like sport jackets, and I have a whole collection of them that I can't wear anymore.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. And more importantly, my blood sugar is down. So I get my, I never did have to take daily, daily blood sugar tests, thankfully. But my A1C, which is sort of a cumulative look over the past 3 months, has come down to the point where I'm no longer considered diabetic. I no longer read as diabetic. I also was able to cut the medicine that I was on in half. And the hope is that I'll be able to go off that completely fairly soon.
Now, you say you didn't have to do the daily blood test. What were you doing to sort of monitor this situation?
I just went to regular doctor's visits, and they mm-hmm. would do an in-office test whenever I went in there. And then other than that, it was really those three-month A1C tests. Mm-hmm. And that was enough for me at the level that I was on. He was confident enough that the medication that I was on was going to do the job. Had I not kind of turned things around, I think the next step would have been to start doing the daily blood tests.
Yeah, and you've got some good recommendations for monitoring tech in your article at Macworld. We'll link to that in the show notes at dailytechnewsshow.com as well. I think this is a great example for people, not because, oh, if you don't wear a tracker, it could be a danger to you. I think it's a great example of, even though a tracker or a smartwatch is not necessarily a medical device per se, it has the effect of bringing your attention to your own health more. Now, in a very dramatic way in your case, regarding the blood clots, of course. But even just as important, I think, is getting you on the road to a healthier blood sugar level, healthier weight, and all of that. And to me, that diet, they always say diet and fitness, diet and exercise, that's what you need to do. And it's really hard to do. And I think people feel guilty that they can't do it. But that's the natural human state. We evolved to conserve energy because there wasn't enough of it out there, and now we have an abundance. So these sorts of technologies, I think, help balance the scale a little and say, hey, let's find another way to push you towards doing what's good for you.
Yeah, exactly. And a couple things that came out of that. So one, people who hadn't seen me in a while looked at me and looked at the weight that I had lost and wanted to know, obviously, how did you do it?
Sure.
And everybody was looking for some kind of magic pill or secret technique or something. And they got very disappointed when I said the trick is to move more and eat less.
Yeah.
It's really as simple as that. And the other thing is that the technology, you make a great point. It doesn't have to be, medically precise. It doesn't have to be to the, 10th decimal or whatever. It just has to give you the feedback to help you keep moving in the right direction. And technology in any aspect of your life is just a tool. And if you use it as a tool in to do this kind of thing, it can be really helpful. It can help motivate you. It can help you, look at those trend lines. And again, seeing that weight line drop slowly over the weeks is incredibly motivating. And getting those notifications that, hey, it's time to take a walk. If that can break you out of whatever you're doing and get you outside and get you moving, then, all the better. And although I used an Apple Watch and I use mostly Apple products, it doesn't have to be an Apple Watch. A Fitbit, a Garmin Vivo Fit, they all do similar things. And use the tools that are comfortable to you. Use the tools that are going to work for you, but just use the tools.
It's a really good point, because I think sometimes as geeks, we get caught up in the data precision of it, right? And as a data nerd myself, I love looking over those trend lines. I love seeing, like, what were my beats per minute? Oh, my resting heart rate's up to 60 now. Why is that? And I think that's where folks get frustrated when they realize, well, wait a minute, this isn't what my doctor says. This isn't accurate.
Right.
I read this story. I would say that satisfy your inner data nerd with your trend lines,
yes.
with that psychological aspect. That's just as helpful and just as interesting to follow, even if the engineering part of your mind isn't going to be satisfied with the precision.
Right. And I would go to my doctor's appointments, wanting to match what I saw on my scale at home. And of course, I'm wearing clothes when I'm at the doctor's office, and their scale is probably a lot more precise than mine. So if it was 2 or 3 pounds more than what I weighed at home, I would, initially get a little bit upset about it.
And let me take off my shoes.
Exactly. I would wear the lightest clothes that I had to the doctor's appointments.
I was surprised the first time I showed the Apple Watch stats to my doctor. I wasn't sure if she'd want to look at them. She was excited. She's like, oh yeah, let me see. And she went right in to the steps and the minutes. Those were she didn't care about heart rate. She didn't care about any of that stuff. She had her own data for me on that, but she wanted to see, like, what are your trend lines? And she pointed out, okay, what happened here where you didn't have your 30 minutes a day? And I was like, oh, that's when I was traveling. She's like, okay, well, try to at least push that up a little. And it was great, because that's what she was recommending too, was, keep monitoring your progress and keep trying to make those trends go up.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll put a word in for some of the accessories, though. Not so much with the diabetes, but when I had the heart, the blood clot issues, and I needed to really monitor things, I was very, very impressed at how accurate some of these things can be. The blood pressure cuffs, the pulse ox monitors. They were, you know, I spent way more time than I ever wanted to using hospital equipment to take these measurements. So I got an idea of what those numbers were. And those things were really accurate for the most part. And because they're so convenient, you know, you can do it anytime you want. And so you can have this, you know, almost continual awareness of how your body's doing, and you can make these minor adjustments. Now, having said that, I'd guard against, you know, worrying too much about what today, any single day's readings are, because, you know, like you said, we're all geeks and we can get too caught up in the numbers. But if you look at those things, you know, those trend lines over, you know, a week or two, and just make adjustments based on what you're seeing, they can be really helpful.
You were using additional equipment too, like a cuff to, you know, you weren't trying to get your blood pressure just off the wrist monitor. And those will be a little better data, I think.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, I was using those to kind of supplement the information that I was getting in between doctor's appointments, to get a ballpark of where I was.
Well, Chuck, thank you so much for sharing your story, not just online, but here with us at DTNS.
I'm happy to do it. Thanks for having me, Tom.
Chuck, as I mentioned, editor and publisher of randommaccess.com, and we'll have links to the two Macworld stories we talked about. Of course, you can look for his writing all over the web, Macworld, Fast Company, and beyond. Check him out on BTN. Anything else that we should mention?
If you want to kind of stay up to date with me, I'm at Chuck Latornis on Twitter, and I kind of, you know, put out teasers and links to everything I'm doing there.
Excellent. Thank you all for supporting us and allowing us to have these extra episodes that go into your feed. Again, patrons get these right away. And if you're getting it in the public feed, they come out on the weekends. So if you want to get them a little earlier, you can support us at patreon.com/DTNS. We'll talk to you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.